Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope on Empowered by the Spirit. And I know I'm excited every week, but this week I am the most excited probably ever because I have my hero with me. I have someone that I care about deeply. I respect unbelievable amount and who lives her faith. And this is Kathleen Eaton Bravo, who is the CEO of the Obria Group and founder of Obria Medical Clinics, as well as formerly Birth Choice Medical Clinics. Welcome to the show, Kathleen.
Thanks, Steve. I'm so excited to be here this morning.
It's so amazing to have you here. You are a national figure. You've done an incredible amount for the pro-life movement. I'm honored to say that I previously was on your board, part of your strategy groups, consulting with you, all kinds of things, but it's not about me. But it's about saying yes, yes to Jesus, yes to protection of the unborn, yes to living out your faith, your baptism to be priest, prophet, and king, to make a stand. Now, this particular show, Empowered by the Spirit, is often about charismatic gifts and healing and, you know, forgiveness and all kinds of topics. This is a, well, I think we're over 160 shows right now. We have not done shows protection of life like I've wanted to do. And so this is going to be the first of, I hope, many. But why is this such an important issue to our listeners to protect the unborn?
Well, it is an important issue, of course, because the dignity and sanctity of every human life from the womb to the tomb. And even though I'm in the womb, I protect the womb. But we also work strongly beyond that to make sure that the mother that God brings to our doors, it's not just served when she walks with an unplanned pregnancy, but that as she continues to carry her baby to term and beyond, that we are there for a year, 2 years, 5 years, as long as it takes to ensure that she has dignity in you know, where she lives. Does she have the necessary things? Does she have a place to live? Does she have food? Does she have the support of the church to help her walk through the walk that she has agreed to take on because she came to us confused and thinking that she couldn't afford to have this baby or she couldn't raise another child or she had four or five and husband was out of work, whatever the situation is that we have to realize this isn't about just the life in the womb. And our organization is trying to sort of break that feeling that all we care about is the life in the womb and the baby is saved, but no, we have to raise our heads up above that and realize we're here for the mother, the woman, the family, the husband, the other children that are going to be impacted, the grandmas and grandpas, the aunts and uncles. In other words, the whole picture of life that is centered around, at that point, an unplanned pregnancy. And I think it's key to understand that our job is much larger than counting babies saved, but our job is basically to be the face of Christ, to be hands and feet of Christ, to love them, walk with them as long as it takes to show them that they are loved and important to our Lord, as is their child.
My brothers and sisters, wherever you are, drop a text or if you can safely, give somebody a call, give them a nudge to tune in to this show because it's one of the most important shows we've ever done. It is talking about the pro-life movement in 2017 with Kathleen Eaton Bravo, CEO of the Obria Group. My brothers and sisters, as we look at James, the letter of St. James, in verse 2, verse 14, it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" And it says, "So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead." I believe very strongly, as I know you do in the radio audience, that we have to live out our faith. That's what Kathleen Eaton Bravo has done. Tell us your story about, like so many of us, perhaps there were times in our lives that we have regrets. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your story and how you got involved in the pro-life movement.
You know, I love that question. I was in a training yesterday and they said, "Why is this important to you?" And you're asking me the same, you know, what why am I here? Why have I given 35 years in the most sort of controversial, looked at political, though it's not political, it's moral. We just have now pushed it over to the political side. Why is it important to me? Well, I was raised in a Catholic family, Irish Catholic family, father an alcoholic, gambling. You know, if he was drinking, he was gambling, he was gambling, he was drinking. And really, we grew up poor and struggling. I somehow raised myself out of the ashes of that, and it wasn't good. I remember saying when I was going to college, as God is my witness, I will never be poor again. I kind of was like Scarlett O'Hara, you know, when she pulled a carrot out of the ground. I'll never go hungry again. Right. But I did, and that was my favorite movie, and I really felt that. And so I was driven to this life of, I stopped going to church. I didn't believe in God. I knew I believed in God, but I didn't at that point was saying it. And started down this path of really looking back destruction, thinking that a great job, making good money, big house, pool going in the backyard, driving a BMW. I was a mother by that time of a 1-year-old son, and then decided that marriage wasn't for me. It separated. I had a relationship, a one night stand, as you say, and I got pregnant. But I knew in my current position which was a non-traditional job for women. I was the first woman in AT&T to go out and run construction crews and be in engineering. And I knew that if I came in and said, I'm pregnant, at that point in where society was, I would have lost my job or been moved back inside. And so I walked into a Planned Parenthood and, never thought about it. It was in my head. I did not let it in my heart. And walked in, and within 24 hours, walked out the back door. I didn't have the abortion at Planned Parenthood. I ended up at Family Planning Associates, our for-profit abortion group here in California, 28 abortion clinics. They do abortions up to 34 weeks. And although I was very early in my pregnancy, I walked in. It was the most excruciating experience. I had no medication. The pain was unbearable. I can remember everything to this day, the sound of the machine, the nurse telling me to shut up, and the doctor saying, pinch her arm or her leg so she'll concentrate on that pain and it'll stop screaming. I laid on a dirty mattress in the back on the floor for 2 hours. I walked out the back door to leave because I'd driven myself there, and I had a flat tire. Mm. Now, I have to tell you, that's a God thing. I said God had to flatten my tire. I sat down on the curb, and if I hadn't sat down on that curb, Steve, I can tell you, I would have gotten in that car and drove away, and I would have just left it behind. But I sat on the curb, and the pain forced me to cry. But the crying turned into wailing, to mourning, because it went from my head to my heart.
There are so many women out there right now listening in who perhaps have had similar experiences. And what message do you have for them?
The message is a message of faith and hope and love, because when I started moaning and wailing and rocking back and forth, I reached out to God. And 8 years I had turned my back, but he never turned his back on me. And I know we hear this. I know we hear this. Oh, God never leaves us. We leave him. He's always there for us. He's always carrying us. But at that moment, God sat with me on that curb, as you are sitting me with you here today. He was just as present to me, Steve, as you touching my hand right now. And we talked. I didn't promise to do great things, but I did say, God, if you bring me one woman, just one, that I could reach out a hand and show her that she has options. Because when I searched, there was nothing there but Planned Parenthood. If you bring me one woman and I can walk her through this and her baby lives, I can forgive myself. And, you know, here we are today. Over 350,000 women and families have walked into our Obrea Medical Clinics for help and support. And Toby's House, which I ran for 20 years, which is a maternity home for homeless pregnant women, especially those that are in domestic violence situations. So God uses when I have to say, I didn't jump up from that curb and do something great. I jumped up from that curb and went deeper into a life of, I call it the life of debauchery, because I was so lost. So it wasn't like I had this sudden miraculous change in my life. It was very easy for me 2 or 3 days later to get right back into the life that led me to that abortion clinic. And I think that is the point I'd like to make. It is not that aha moment when you realize that what you've done or what you're about to do, but it's the reality of changing the environment that we're in, reaching those women beyond that moment and making sure you're walking with her. Because that next year, I did everything that I thought I wouldn't do. I went back into, I almost lost the custody of my child. I walked away from my job and I ended up in a trailer in Arizona, living on the river, drinking, partying, and But I'll tell you the story later if you want to say what happened and how from the moment on the abortion on that curb and where God took me and then came in and sort of threw me up against the wall and said, okay, you know.
It's time.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out more about that in a few minutes here. But I wanted to say to our listening audience, let's take a look again at Scripture and let it fill your heart, fill your soul. And this is Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Do not condemn yourself. If you've had an abortion, if you've been party to an abortion by maybe recommending an abortion, know that God isn't condemning you. Mm. Know that God is calling you back to Him and saying how much He loves you.
Amen.
And we're going to be right back to learn more about Kathleen Eaton Bravel's story on how she turned her life to Jesus.
Camp Maria Stella, a summer camp for girls, is currently accepting registrations. Camp Maria Stella is in the San Gabriel Mountains, a short distance from Los Angeles, Orange, Riverside, and San Bernardino counties. Operated by the Sisters of Social Service for over 75 years, Camp Maria Stella is a great experience for girls. Great fun is had while spiritual development and character is developed. Traditional camp activities include prayer, games, ceramics, swimming, nature activities, hiking, drama, camp songs, arts and crafts. Camp is a very safe environment for your daughter. For more information on Camp Maria Stella in the San Gabriel Mountains, call 818-285-1555. That's 818-285-1555. Or visit the website at campmariastella.com. That's campmariastella.com.
Hello, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco. We are back on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral in the Diocese of Orange, California, with Kathleen Eaton Bravo, the CEO of the Obria Group and founder of Obria Medical Clinics. And we're talking about Kathleen's story, about her life of wandering away from the Lord, let's just say, and how the Lord called her back. But there are so many listeners out there and people that you meet. You were just at a talk, I believe, mm-hmm. when someone kept asking you questions about why you were doing what you were doing and really relating to her life. And I know you see that an awful lot. And for our listening audience, there are people who have been brought by the Holy Spirit to listen to you right now. What was that message to you the other night from that woman? And perhaps it's similar to a question that so many women would ask you.
Well, you know, she raised her hand. She was a beautiful woman. And she was in the back and raised her hand. And her questions were very pointed, sort of angry. And I really felt like, okay, this woman is pro-Planned Parenthood. It feels like, you know, has bought into the lie that's been perpetrated upon society that Planned Parenthood is good and that only 3% of what they do is abortion. Do not kid yourself. Planned Parenthood's two main income sources are abortion and contraception. Contraception driving these women to abortion. That is it. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is a Planned Parenthood, a woman that is here saying, you know, I went to them. That's my, so I was prepared for it. And then someone else took over the conversation. At the end, she came up to me and she said, I had another question. I said, I realized you did. So go ahead and ask me. And basically, she asked another question about really questioning why I'm doing this and what I'm doing. And then she broke down and she said, I am 63 years old and I had an abortion very early in my life and I stuffed it. I didn't face it. In fact, I justified it and I went on. And now I'm 63 and I'm facing my mortality and it has hit me. And she cried and she said, and I look at you and it took you a year and you took a year of where you did the crazies, like you said, just said. She said, it's taken me all my life. And I came tonight because I'm now saying, what do I do? And who is this woman? And will she answer my fears, my questions? Will she give me that message that even now, after ignoring this and doing nothing, that God still loves me? And so we wept together. I'm a year older than her. And I faced that a year after and I did something. God called me to do this. It doesn't mean that everybody has to drop their lives and take on a ministry. At 63, she reached out and I loved her and we held each other and we wept and she smiled. isn't that really what God calls us to do?
And it's a healing process.
Oh, such a healing for both of us. You heal over and over and over again because you are sort of that smacked in the face with the reality out of something that happens to you. Whether you're in a mall and you see a woman put her hand and rub the cheek of her precious little 1 or 2 year old, and you're suddenly taken back to that moment where I had a child that I was never able to do that to.
My brothers and sisters, as we take a look at Romans 8, I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Understanding how much God loves us transforms us. And I think that was a big part of your journey, too.
Absolutely.
You had this moment in time where you were in so much pain, and yet you made a decision to say, I'm not worthless, mm-hmm. and God has called me to a purpose. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, as I shared, I didn't get up off that curb and do something. I did do things, but radically on the other side. I just couldn't deal with it. Everything fell apart in my life. Everything. And so what do I do? What does God do? He takes me from California to Oklahoma. So a year later, Halloween night, I'm in Oklahoma City. I just arrived that day. I had remarried a man, and we won't go into that story, but I remarried in this crazy 1 year of life. Anyway, I have my feet in the kitchen sink, and I'm looking out the window in Oklahoma City down this dark and dreary and dead trees. You know, it's totally different than California. Everything, there's no green. And I started weeping, and I can say it was really my dark night of the soul. And I was in that sink sobbing, screaming inside, angry, and then switched to God, where are you? And then feeling he was there, and then switching back to anger and despair and feeling like I had been just, my whole life had been used and abused. And I knew at that point, when the sun was rising, that I was going to get up out of that sink and end my life, or get up out of that sink and do something. And I'm going to show you how old I am. I got out the yellow pages and found a Catholic church that was a mile and a half. On the second morning of my life in Oklahoma City, I stumbled into St. Andrew's Catholic Church in Moore, Oklahoma. And I sat there and knew I could not receive the Eucharist. I wasn't in the state of grace. I was two pews up from the back of the church. And I had this anxiety moment that I had to get out. So much to the point that I felt like if I had to climb over the back of the pew, I was so driven to get out of that church, to get out, to get out, to get out. There was two elderly women on each side, and I swear they were angels, that knelt the whole time. I couldn't get through them. I was trapped. I was sobbing. I mean, that crying, you know, can I say it online, like that snot nose sort of crying. Everybody's looking at me. Everybody went to communion. I could not get out of the pew. The women on the right didn't move. The men on the left, I couldn't get out. Again, I thought, okay, I'm going to climb over the pew. I needed to get out. I was like a caged animal. At the end of the service, Father George Pupius said, would everybody sit down? There's someone here to give a message. And I said, oh my God, what now? I can't still get out. And yet, who stands up? Barbara Chisco of Bird Choice of Oklahoma City. And she says, I run a pregnancy center here in Oklahoma City that offers women alternatives to abortion, and I need your help. And guess where I was? I was sitting on that curb when I told God, bring me one woman. And God had to take me to Oklahoma City to meet Barbara. Barbara is part of the charismatic movement and all of her volunteers. That night, Sunday night, I'm in a home of Katie Gordy. And I've never been prayed over. And they put my chair in the middle of the room and they're praying over me. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, what are they doing? This is crazy. And the next thing I know, I was totally released. The Holy Spirit came in. And at that moment, on that chair, with 25 Catholic women praying over me, I accepted Jesus back into my life fully. And I committed myself to the pro-life movement. And I've been doing it ever since.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Praise you, Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. That is so amazing. But it is such a critical message to our listening audience.
Forgiveness.
It's never too late.
Never.
Do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. God is calling you. God is beckoning you. We give up on ourselves, but Jesus never gives up on us. And he brings us people. And that fervent prayer, the most important things, my brothers and sisters listening in, is the prayer from the head to the heart, 18
Amen.
Inches. Tell us about that, because that's what you did.
Yeah.
You have a fervent prayer. It's not how long you pray.
No.
It's how much you pray with passion mm-hmm. and belief.
You know, what you talked about, that 18 inches, is the key and the core to the ministry of we as Catholics and other Christians around the world, is that are really on the front lines of the abortion industry. You see, on the fight of fighting it, you see, it's getting that exactly what you said, to get from their head to their heart the understanding that Jesus has never left you, and that yes, we go out and we're human, and let's talk about the thief, you know, hanging on the cross next to him. Jesus is there with open arms. We shut the door. That doesn't make us bad. We make mistakes. I aborted my unborn child. I've done other, I mean, I went through a life of craziness after that, but yet Jesus was there waiting for me. And I sat in a room on a chair with 25 women I didn't even know, who, by the way, are still 35 years later in my life. I was just in Oklahoma State and stayed with Katie Gorder, the house that I was praying in. And so bottom line is, it's always remember that our mission in the pro-life movement is to do exactly that, to be there for that woman, to help her move her thoughts from this thought of, I can't do this, society and my life and money and I don't have insurance, to get it from her head where it's all about us, because we sort of are a me society, and to move it to our heart, which is all about the world, Christ, God, where he puts us. But most importantly, at that moment in her heart, it's when she suddenly falls in love with her unborn child. You see, if we can't get it into her heart, Steve, we cannot save the life of her child. But most importantly, what are we doing for her? You see, once we get this in our, when it entered my heart, I never went back. It wasn't just saving my unborn child. It was bringing me back to Christ. It was saving me. And isn't that what we're called? When those women walk into the doors of our clinics, our pregnancy centers, our clinics, it is to reach them. And through them, we save the child. We must be there for them. It's my ministry.
My brothers and sisters, we're with Kathleen Eaton Bravo, the CEO of the Obria Group and founder of Obria Medical Clinics, formerly Birth Choice Medical Clinics. You can hear her passion. You can hear her belief. You can hear her story about how she went the opposite way that God wanted her to go, perhaps, but all of it worked to good. That's the important thing. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't be who you are unless you did some other things that molded you. I'm not justifying it, but God uses everything for good. And again, that's what Romans 8:28, that all things work for good. For he who loves the Lord or she loves the Lord, called according to his purpose. So important. So important that God will use all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In all circumstances, give thanks, for this the will for you in Christ Jesus. So my brothers and sisters, and especially my sisters out there, God will use the circumstance to transform you if you open your heart to say yes to him. Is so, so critical. We're going to be right back to talk more about what is happening today in the pro-life movement and how you can make a difference. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Kathleen Eaton Bravo, the CEO of the Obria Group and founder of Obria Medical Clinics. The title of this show is Pro-Life Movement Today in 2017. And off the air, you had mentioned something very important about where these abortions actually are occurring nationally. Mm-hmm. Tell us about the states right now where the abortions occur, and just in general, your thoughts with, we have obviously a new president, but we have quite a political climate right now that is very hostile.
Yes.
You know, in general. And, but tell us about what states have the most abortions and why should we care, especially if we're in California?
Well, we should care, especially since we're in California. So basically, I know that people are hearing that abortions are going down, and we're questioning that, and I'll explain why when we start talking about the abortion pill. But for us in California, out of all the abortions in this country, 50% of those abortions are done in two states. So California and New York. California and New York are the killing fields. We are the front lines of the abortion of abortions in this country. And between those two states, we do over half the abortions that are done every year. We are in California. We are on the front lines. So it's the reason why God got me out of California, took me to Oklahoma City, and brought me back to California 4 years later after I worked in the pro-life movement there and realized we desperately needed a birth choice, a pregnancy group, a clinic, so that women searching went like I did. And so I came back to California and launched Birth Choice. Many of you know it as Birth Choice Pregnancy Clinics. And then we just rebranded. We can talk a little bit about that, but we rebranded to Obria. I know a lot of people say why, and we can talk about that. But most importantly, what is happening out there is, you know, I came in this morning and I talked to Steve, and I was a little discouraged this morning after some things that I discovered yesterday on what's happening and what's being questioned. And of course, this morning there was a shooting, in Washington, D.C. Five people were shot. And so I woke up to that, and you're in deep prayer. We are. It's a nation that's in turmoil, and there's a lot of anger. But I also remember Mother Teresa, but Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta, that when she's got up in during the Clinton administration at the prayer breakfast, or that congressional prayer breakfast, and this little teeny nun, you know, bent over, and in the world of today, not attractive, but in the world of God and us, she was the most beautiful thing in the world. And she lifted her head and said that no nation will survive that continues to abort a whole generation of their children.
Amen.
And I've never forgotten that. And of course, by that time, I was in the pro-life movement. And we must never forget what she said. And the room broke in applaud. But as we watched our president and first lady, they sat there and did not stand. And there was no applauding. And we have watched our nation evolve into taking it from that point to continuing this sort of downward slide of pushing the whole life issue. Without life, we have nothing. Steve, you're very active in your ministries, but at the Knapp Institute, there was a speaker professor from Baylor University, the first professor that year. And in his whole talk, he spoke for an hour on talking about the demise of Christianity and Catholicism in Europe and what the path was. And then he shifted to the United States and said by 2030, we're right there. And that in Europe, 10 more countries would become like Finland and have no faith. And number 10 was Ireland. And there was a gasp in the room, and he moved to the United States, and he basically ended with this. He said, all of us that are building our churches and our schools have to stop and think by 2030 who will be sitting in those classroom seats. Because today, we've already seen the first step of the demise of Christianity, and that is the demise of the family. Because a family, the core of the family is children, and there are no children. We are not having children. We're not replacing our population in the United States for the first time for the past 10 years. There are no children. Without children, there's no need for family. There's no need to get married. We can cohabitate, and we're seeing that. And what is the core of the church? Family.
Amen.
And that's how we ended this thought provoking. My gosh, you know, I already know this. So the point being, Steve, and when we're looking at this issue of life, to me, there's no more important issue for the church and our faith and Christianity and our country than the sanctity of the child, the sanctity of life from the womb to the tomb. But most importantly, we can't get him to the tomb if that tomb comes within the womb of the mother that God has created this child along with, you know, the couple. If the tomb is actually in the womb.
I just have something that just popped in my head, and I believe it was from the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture verse that I quote frequently, one of the most powerful verses, an incredibly powerful gospel of John, and that's John 10:10. I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Mm. Well, how can you have an abundant life unless you're born?
Amen.
And my brothers and sisters, abundant life means fighting for what you believe in, fighting for life, fighting for those that can't fight mm-hmm. for themselves.
Right.
And the question I have for you in the listening audience, if not you, then who? If not you, then who? Who is going to stand up and be counted? Who is going to defend religious freedom? who is going to make a difference. Let's talk about, we have a new president, what's going on nationally, Supreme Court, and so forth. If you could give us some updates on that.
Well, you know, when Trump was running as the Republican candidate, the Susan B. Anthony List and Marjorie Dannenfelser and senators and congressmen and women came together and took to him a document asking him to sign it to say if he gets the Catholic and evangelical vote, especially pro-lifers, behind him, what would he do? And what he signed was a commitment for life. His commitment was to put in a Supreme Court justice that was pro-life. And, of course, we did that. He did that with Gorsuch. He agreed to defund Planned Parenthood. He agreed to move funding that is currently going to the abortion provider, the largest abortion provider in the world, Planned Parenthood, over to clinics that support the dignity and sanctity of all human life. And he also agreed to end the funding that is going through the United Nations into third world countries. That if those countries needed help for food and survival, attached to that is they had to provide abortifacients and abortion, and to end that, which he did pass that law. So there was a list, and he's promised to live up to that. I was just at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, and Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, was the speaker, and he gave his story about how he was raised Catholic, though he's not a practicing Catholic right now, and sort of tied it into this commitment that Trump made on the life issue, and repeated that we do have a pro-life Supreme Court justice. But there's one thing that we have to understand. It puts us back to where the court was, Steve. It hasn't right. taken the court to the next level. It basically replaces where the court was before the death of Anthony Scalia. So what we need now is the commitment to have that. There'll be another two more probably, and one they're anticipating one could be within the next 3 or 4 months or a year. Do we have that commitment now to put the person that really the next one would actually put our faith, religious freedom, life issues, the sanctity of life, and be able to practice our faith and worship, not just in the churches, but worship in our communities, worship who we are in the workplace, and be the Christian, the Catholics that we can be in our beliefs on the sanctity of marriage and between a man and woman. Are we going to have this? Because we aren't there yet. So this next appointment, we need to hold him accountable, and we need to fight and pushing up through our local representatives and our senators to say this next appointment is actually the most important appointment on the Supreme Court. We have to ensure that you know, they stood up and said, you know, Mike Pence said he's going to defund Planned Parenthood, yet the Republicans put through, yes, it was a temporary budget so the government would be shut down. But in that was the continued funding of Planned Parenthood. Where do we draw the line? Why is it that we now have a pro-life House, Senate, and President, but we still have not moved the meter over to start impacting issues of importance on the life issue and saying, we put you in office to ensure the sanctity of all human life. Yet here in California, what do we have? We have assisted suicide. So the battle is, we have not won. If people think, oh, we've won this, abortion's going down. We have not won. We cannot for a moment stop our due diligence on making sure that our Catholic faith is represented. I'm not a political person, but if we feel that life is an abortion is too political, we don't want to talk about it, and we put it there, we need to bring it back. And we need to bring it back and understand this is a moral issue. These are moral battles we're fighting for. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or independent. It doesn't matter. These are moral issues. And so if you're looking at it politically, bring it back to understand I'm fighting for these issues because morally, the killing of unborn children in the womb and allowing us to support assisted suicide, what has happened to us? We must fight. And this sounds like the other side. I'm not fighting. I'm not saying going out. I'm saying fighting for writing letters and making sure that who we've put in positions of authority, even in the church, are standing up and supporting the sanctity and dignity of every human life from the womb to the tomb.
And it's so important that we take a stand. It's so important that we are heard. And let's take a look at 2 Timothy 4:2. Proclaim the word, be persistent, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. Convince, reprimand, encourage through all patience and teaching. Think
about
that for a second, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we have to do.
Yes.
We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to have people feel uncomfortable with almost 50% of Catholics supporting abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very, very controversial, but we have to stand and be counted. We're going to come right back to talk about something that is incredibly important for you to know about, and that's RU 486 and how that is changing the landscape and how we must fight. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Win a trip to the Holy Land. Simply subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll be automatically entered to win. No purchase necessary to enter. Travel to some of Christianity's most important sites. This inspirational tour is truly a vacation of a lifetime. All you have to do is subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll automatically be entered to win. Visit OCCatholic-subscribe.com.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Deacon Steve Greco with Kathleen Eaton Bravo, CEO of Obria Group and founder of the Obria Medical Clinics. And we're talking about that national landscape, but also now the local landscape. And that local landscape, as well as across the country, certainly, is an abortion pill, RU 486. Tell us what that is and why that is such an important issue for us.
Well, RU 486 is really the abortion pill. It was in Europe for many, many years. In fact, currently today, 97% of first trimester abortions throughout Europe are done through RU 486. 97%. So we're going to talk about what does that look like. But most importantly, RU 486 came into the United States, gosh, about 13 or 14 years ago. I remember the day. Yeah. You know, when Roe v. Wade was signed in, I was in college. I kind of thought about it, but it wasn't like an aha moment, like, oh my God. But RU 46, when it was approved by the FDA in the United States, I stopped in my tracks and sobbed. And I said, this will have a more profound negative effect on life. Actually, I think even more than Roe. And everybody looked like I was crazy. And I said, you watch. Currently today, RU 46 is a girl takes the pill in her bedroom. The first pill she takes actually kills the baby. It shuts off oxygen and nutrients to the baby. It takes about 72 hours. And so she takes the pill and she's laying in her bedroom alone. And then she starts realizing, my God, what have I done? At 72 hours, by that time, the baby's dead. And then she takes another set of pills. And those pills actually then put her into labor. It's sort of like a miscarriage, but very painful. So she's in her room. And by the way, these pills are given to girls, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old. So mom and dad have gone to work. She skipped school.
And where do they get them?
They get them through the majority. Well, in 2014, 3 million abortions were done through RU 46 that they can track. And over a million of those were from Planned Parenthood. And I have that on a Reuters report that says exclusive. This Reuters report came out October 31st of 2016. Exclusive. Abortion by prescription now rivals surgery for U.S. women. And so out of those, I said that it was 4 million. Out of those 4 million, over a million were done by Planned Parenthood. So where are we today? So sure enough, it's exactly what I said. 80% of abortions in this country, Steve, are in the first trimester. 80%. In some states, so right now what we're saying is out of those 80% of abortions, 50% of them in our country are done in the bedroom. Girl takes the pill in her bedroom, the baby dies, she goes into labor, she's in her bathroom, she goes into labor, she bleeds, you know, she has a miscarriage, and then she picks up her precious baby and she flushes it down the toilet. Now, I have something to say about this from a personal perspective. And I find that women that have had abortion are all saying the same thing, that my abortion was a surgical abortion. Many surgical abortions and women that have had them in the past year put to sleep, and they never really experienced anything except finally the reality hits. Like we talked about going from the brain to the heart, that they aborted their unborn child. For me, I heard everything. I felt everything. My friends say if you didn't experience the sound of the suction machine and you screaming and what was going on in that room and the pain, would you do what you were doing? And I said, I don't know, but probably not. But there was always this sort of on the side feeling that it wasn't all me, that it was that nurse pinching my leg and telling me to shut up. And the doctor who was turning on that machine, who I could see his face to this day. And I could put some of that pain, like I was let down. I was let down about, you know, Planned Parenthood or Family Planning Associates. These girls are aborting these babies with their own hands. The reality of a very PTSD society of millennials and young women coming out of this is true and real, and it's a crisis of today, not a crisis of tomorrow. It is a crisis of today. 50% of abortions are being done in the bedroom, and women are doing it on their own, and they're picking up their baby in their hands. If the baby's too big, there's a bag, and they're told to take it to a disposal site that they give them that information. The reality of abortions today. So the Reuters report basically goes on to say that in some states, for example, Iowa, and by the way, we just have 5 new clinics going up in Iowa under the OBRIA group, OBRIA clinics. In Iowa, 76% of abortions are done by RU46. We are heading towards Europe. We are heading towards what I've shared about in the earlier is from the professor from Baylor saying that we have no children and where are we going in the fact that the demise of Christianity and 97% of babies are murdered in Europe in the womb through RU46. And here is our nation, this nation under God, that we are destroying life in the womb by a pill. And it's a horrendous, horrendous procedure. And they're all alone and very young girls with no parental consent. And many of the, in some states like Iowa, the pill in Maryland, and I think Maine just went up. I think there's 6 or 7 states now that actually will mail the pill directly to the address of whatever address this young girl gives with the only verification of pregnancy and where she is in the stage of the pregnancy. By the way, you can take the pill. It used to be just 8 weeks after conception, but before Kathleen Sebelius left and HHS changed that, and the FDA now says you can take it up to 10 weeks. That means it's being taken up through 12 weeks.
My brothers and sisters, we must stand and be counted. We must fight. We must support organizations like the OBRIA group. People are listening.
Yes.
People are getting fired up.
Mm.
The Holy Spirit is convicting them. How do they get in touch with you?
I'm at Kathleen. K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N, the Irish Kathleen. I am Kathleen at OBRIA, OBRIA.org. Kathleen at OBRIA.org.
Awesome. And it's so important that they can reach you, get more information. And what is the website?
The website is www.obriagroup.org. OBRIA Group, one word, OBRIAGroup.org.
And if they want to make donations, they can make donations.
Absolutely, right there. You just click on donate.
That's awesome. Awesome. Now, for me, there's a 3-step process I want to bounce off you. The first step is for people to have that surrender to Jesus.
Yes.
Because when you surrender to Jesus, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:16, there's a veil that's removed from our eyes. We see things much more clearly. We see what the enemy is doing. We see how the enemy wants to destroy family, children, marriages, wants to destroy that. First step, my brothers and sisters, give your life to Jesus. Second step is stand and be counted by praying and saying, Lord, use me to make a difference. And third is to do something, is to be active, to write that letter, to support financially, spiritually, in action, time, talent, treasure. And if we do those 3 things, and really in that order, at least I believe in that order, then we will transform the face of the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I think that's my story. I had the basis or the core, the seed of faith planted in me by my mother and praying the rosary when we did off and on, which that took me through those 8 years of darkness and the mistakes that I made, the life that I was living, and back into the church. And it wasn't until that healing, that coming back to our Father, who never left me. But some people don't have that root, that core, that planted seed. You know, the one thing in Cursillo, we say bloom where you're planted. You know, the seed is there. We've got to plant. You know, we've got to bloom. We have to do exactly what you said. We have to embrace through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be with us. It will give us the words that we need to say. Don't ever go in fear that we don't know what to say. And through the Holy Spirit, we bring people to Christ. Bring people to Christ. In doing so, you're going to change their lives. And abortion, the culture of life, would come back to this country. We have to embrace the culture of life through the work of the Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and let Him into our hearts, and to be able to trust and share our faith openly and bring them to Christ, and we'll have a culture of life. It's promised to us. We have a culture of life, and this will end. It has basically got to be a groundswell movement. It is us, the people. We are the church, Steve, you know that. It is this groundswell movement to no longer be afraid to speak out on the issue of life, of faith, of calling the Holy Spirit into a meeting, into prayers, and to pray constantly for life. And we will see changes that only God can make through us as his disciples here on earth.
My brothers and sisters, as it says in the letter of St. James, we are a vapor that appears briefly and disappears. Make it count.
Amen. Make it count.
Make it count. Make your time count by defending the unborn, by giving your life to Jesus, by living out the talents. It's the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. You've been given talents. Use them. Don't bury them. So important. Kathleen, this is such an important topic. We would like to have you back for a second show to talk more about it and the Opria Medical Clinics. And I look forward to having you back soon.
Here. Right. Thank you. I'm looking forward to coming back, Steve.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for calling us to fight, calling us to live, calling us to defend those that need defense, the unborn, those that are marginalized. May we fight for life. May we live out our faith. May we use the sword of the Holy Spirit. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit through the power of your love, through the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. And I bless all of you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.
Hi, this is Deacon Steve Greco from Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, and we are so excited to be partnering with Immaculate Heart. And I'm also very pleased to have published my first book, 365 Days of Praise. It's a daily devotional to help you with a daily scripture reading, a reflection, and also a thought-provoking question to help stimulate your spiritual growth.
Available online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or find out more at SpiritFilledHearts.org.